this month we're consecrating and we're giving ourselves to the Lord. Amen. And that's what we want to do. We want to be pleasing unto Him. We want to set ourselves apart so that we can hear His voice. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Instructions given to Moses about the building of the tabernacle. And it starts this way. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. Jumping down to verse 21. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. Thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee. And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. If you could just bow your heads one more time. Lord, I ask you to sanctify this message, sanctify this word, separate it out in the hearers, Lord God, that it will build faith, that it will motivate, Lord God, that it will draw us nearer to you. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and says, and tell them it's the heart of the matter. Amen. You may be seated. Title of this message is The Heart of the Matter. Now you might be wondering, what does that have to do with the scriptures that I just read? It's telling the story of the building of the tabernacle. It's telling the story of how God commanded Moses to set up a dwelling place where he would meet and intercede on behalf of the children of Israel. Moses was given detailed plans for how the tabernacle should be built. But here's the interesting part. He wasn't just given the plans of how the tabernacle was to be built, but he was told the order in which it was to be built. Today, when you start a building, they usually start with the foundations, and they dig out, they go down before they go up. And they start digging out the foundations, and they pour concrete and reinforce it. And after they've got the foundations, then they come up with the outer wall, and they start putting up the walls of the building. And then they start doing the inside of the building, and finally they do the final finishing of the inside of the building last. But you know, God is always different. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And you will find that the tabernacle was not built according to that formula. It was built completely different. It started with the inside out. Do you know that God wants to change your insides, and then your outsides will reflect that change? It doesn't matter if you glam yourself up and put on a suit, if your heart, if your insides is not changed. It doesn't matter. God is looking to build you the tabernacle from the inside out. That wasn't God's way. He started with the Ark of the Covenant. The first instruction to build the tabernacle was not with the outside, but was with the inside. You see, the Ark of the Tabernacle was really the heart of the tabernacle. That's why I titled this message, The Heart of the Matter. When God calls you, He's not looking to do the outside first. He's looking to get your heart. He gave Moses the instructions how to build the tabernacle, starting with the most important part, which was the heart of the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant. That's not how man would do it. We would start with the outside, with the foundations. But God works differently. See, the message is not to glam up the outside and still be inside the same person. That is not going to work. I'm only going to keep that up for a little bit. But if you are truly changed from the inside, the outside will reflect what God has already done. So God told Moses to start from the place where I want to speak with you. God's not going to speak on the outside. He said, I want you to build this ark because that's the place I'm going to meet with you. That's the place I'm going to commune with you. God wants to commune with your heart. You need to build your tabernacle from the inside out. You can't start with just coming to church and thinking that's okay. That's building it from the man's perspective. We have to start with letting God fix our heart. You see, they had to get the ark right. Moses wasn't left to his own devices how he would build it. He didn't just say, well, let me see here now. We need a box about 2 foot by 1.5. No, God specified how it was supposed to be done. We can't build this thing ourselves. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. When we go to the Old Testament, we see the very first reference to heart is in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it speaks about the wickedness of man's heart. Genesis 6, 5 says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. See, if Moses had not built the ark right, it wouldn't matter how beautiful the rest of the tabernacle was. It wouldn't matter all the rules and regulations if he had not obeyed God in building the ark right. Because that was the place, that was the center, that was the heart of the matter. God wants your heart. Amen? Are you awake? Amen. Does God want your heart? Amen. You see, you have to start building your tabernacle from the inside out. You have to let the word get to your heart. Some people, they come to church, and my old pastor used to say, they sit like a bump on a log. You know what a bump on a log does? Nothing. We have to let God build our tabernacle from the inside out. That is the heart of the matter today. You can't try and come to church all dressed up when your heart is not built. You know, because that means the building isn't really finished. There was nothing in the temple in Jerusalem because the tabernacle, the heart of the matter, had gone. By the time Jesus came, there was nothing behind that curtain. It was just an empty shell. The thing that was the heart of the matter was gone. God wants our heart today. And until you're willing to let him build you from the inside out, you're just a shell. You're a Hollywood set. You ever seen those sets? They look so real till you go behind and you find it's just some cardboard and some sticks. That's what the devil wants to do, is to hollow you out so that there is no place for God to meet you. There is no center. There is no heart of the matter. God said he wanted to commune. He was going to dwell between the cherubims. Do you have a place for God to meet you today? Have you let him build you from the inside out? Or are you just a shell? You dress up, you come to church, but there's no ark. See, there was something that changed God's mind. In Genesis 8:22, just two chapters later, it said that when Noah came out of the ark, he offered him up such a sacrifice. He built a place of worship. In other words, he built a place of meeting. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man, you see, if we don't get this heart right, it's not going to work. That's why you see people come to church for 2 weeks and then you never see them again. They come to church for a month or two. You know what? They have not built from the inside out. They put on a suit or comb their hair or whatever. They come to church, they get a little tepid blessing, and then they're gone because they have not built from the inside out. See, when Noah came out, the first thing he did was to build an altar to God. He knew that there was a place where he had to meet God for God to be entreated. And it said the Lord smelled a sweet savor, the incense that represented the prayer. The Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Amen. You see, that's how we are. Unless we start to do something with the ark, with the heart, God is not going to be able to commune with us. See, if you were to look at the Ark of the Covenant while it was being constructed, God told him some specific things to do. You know, when they were half finished, all it looked like was an old wooden chest. And it was built from a certain kind of wood. God told him which wood to use. And it wasn't the best wood to use. It was, the scholars believe it was from a tree called the acacia tree. Now that tree is full of thorns. So before they could even start building the ark, you know what they had to do? They had to cut off all the thorns. But you see, that's the way to build the box that God wants to commune. You have to let him start cutting off all the thorns. You have to let him start to work from the inside out. Because that is the matter. That is the heart of the matter. They could have said, well, God, why don't you just let us use this beautiful cedar wood? That's got no knots. But you see, that Ark of the Covenant represents the human heart. The Bible in Genesis said that it is exceedingly evil. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. See, that's why he chose the acacia tree, because it represents how we are before God starts to work on us. We have to let him first shave off all the thorns. And then when they started shaving it off, I'm sure those workmen got stuck. They got some pain. There was some pain involved in building this Ark of the Covenant. And finally, they had this wooden box. And to look at it, it was nothing. Will God actually speak to us from this box? Not in its present form. As we were talking in Sunday school, you have to go all the way. So God said, then the next thing you have to do is get some gold that has been melted and that has gone through some refining process, that's been tried in the fire, and then you have to beat it. That beating process isn't so good. They had to beat the gold. It had to be one piece. One piece of gold had to cover this whole box. They had to beat it repeatedly till it was completely surrounding this box. And at the end of it, you had this beautiful treasure that there's not been the like since. This beautiful place that God wanted to meet people. If you will let God get a hold of your heart, he can take that thorny acacia wood. He can take that ugly old box and he can cover it with gold. He can put gold that has been tried in the fire. See, if we turn to Isaiah chapter 41, 19, you will see that this didn't make any sense. They were in a desert place. You know what in a desert place? You know what grows in a desert place? But look what God promised to do for them. He said, I will plant in the wilderness. You see, once you decide to follow God's plans, all Moses had to say, okay, God, you've given me the plans. You've told me how to put them together. You've told me the order. But where's the materials? They were in a desert place. There was sand. There was no water except for what God provided. But look what God says. Once you decide to follow my plans, once you want to get to the heart of the matter, guess what I will do? I will plant in the wilderness. The cedar, the shittar tree, that was the tree, the myrtle and the olive tree. All of those materials were needed to build the tabernacle. God said, you know what? Once you've decided to let me be in the heart of the matter, I'm going to furnish you the materials. I will plant in the wilderness. God was going to make grow something that couldn't grow by itself in a desert place. Verse 20 says that they may see and know and consider. Think about it. The nations heard that these people are building this beautiful thing in the wilderness. Well, how are they going to do that? They're out in the desert. God says, so that they may see. See, your friends won't know when God has started work on your heart, but they will start to see you manifest a different lifestyle. They'll start to see a change in your outlook. They'll start to see a change in your language. They'll start to see a change in your thinking. Because God said, I will plant all these things in a wilderness. When we come to God, we're like a desert. But if we will take the plants and get to the heart of the matter. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittar tree, the myrtle, the olive tree. I will set it in the desert, the fir. All the things that were needed for the tabernacle didn't grow in the wilderness. But God said, I will do it. That they may see, verse 20, and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the... We cannot change our heart. Did you know that? Try as we might, we can't make ourselves good. But if we will follow the plan, if we will be obedient, if we will start the process of separation, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. The nations around them said, well, where did they get those materials? How could they possibly be building this thing in the desert? Because God did it. Let God work on you from the inside out. Let him beautify you. Let him cover you with gold that has been put through some fire. Let him chop off those thorns. See, but that was not the end of the story. All these things were needed for the tabernacle, but they didn't grow by themselves. So God said, I'm going to make them happen. God said a few other things. I'm going to be your cover. See, everything that God creates has a covering. We need to come before God with that cover that has been tried in the fire. So to get your covering and to change from just some wooden old acacia box, you need the Holy Spirit. But when it was finished, God gave the craftsmen special skills that I believe that no rendition yet has been able to capture the beauty of what the ark looked like. One piece of beaten gold. That's why you could no longer see that horrible, knotted old acacia wood. It was covered in pure, fine gold with embroidery and all the kinds of skilled working. One piece of gold that box was made out, beaten fine. You couldn't see the horribleness. When God gets a hold of your heart, he will wash you, he will cleanse you, he will cover you with his Holy Spirit. The world won't be able to see what you look like before because he will have changed your heart into the place where he can meet you, where he can commune with you, where he can minister to you, where he wants to deliver you. It's the heart of the matter. When it was finished, it was the place where El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, Jehovah Nissi, my banner. Amen. These are all names. You know what I'm calling these names? Because he said, once you finish, I'm going to put my name on that. He's going to put Jehovah Jireh. He's going to be your provider. He's going to be your banner. He's going to be your protector. Because you have to build the tabernacle from the inside out. He's going to be Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He's going to be your provider, protector, leader, defender, healer, deliverer. Amen. In Revelation 3:21, he says, him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple. He's going to put his name on it. He doesn't just want the box looking good. He wants his name on it. Moses, you're going to build this different. Don't start with the outsides. Well, Lord, that's not how we usually do things. This is not the usual way. We're not the usual church. We're not the Orthodox church. We're the ones that shout and rejoice and give God praise. We're doing things the opposite way. Because my ways are not your ways. He wants the inside first. He will take that old box, cover it with gold, make that thing so beautiful. When I leave my home in the morning, I always remember the creation of the ark. You say, why? Because I'm dealing with stuff at work. I don't know what I'm doing. But you know what God did? He said, I'm going to specially endow the craftsmen. They didn't even know how to build what God wanted to have built. Because this was something that never existed before. I don't think there's a picture that can really depict what the ark. This was a supernatural creation. So God had to specially endow the craftsmen with wisdom. And every morning when I go out, I'm praying with my Lord, I say, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me understanding so that when I'm facing what I have to do, you're going to just supernaturally inspire. God can do it. If you will give him his, your heart, he will give you his. Amen. To him that overcometh, Revelation 3:12, I will make a pillar. Does that sound good or not? A pillar in the temple, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him. What did I say? He's going to write some names upon him. Would you like the name Jehovah Jireh? The Lord is my provider. Would you like the name Jehovah Rapha written upon your ark, your heart? Because that means he's the Lord that he... What name do you know him by? What is written upon your heart? It's a matter of your heart. You see, God didn't just finish that then. After they built the box, he said you got to put three things in it. And God does nothing out of just show. Everything in the Old Testament was meant for a reason. There were three things put inside the ark. There's some three things that we need to make sure we have inside our heart if we're going to be the place where God meets us. The first, of course, was the tablets with the law upon it. God said, I'm going to put that in there because that's my covenant with you. We need to have a covenant in our heart with God. But it's not a tablet of stone. Ezekiel 36:26 promises, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. See, we don't have to walk around with those Ten Commandments, but we need to have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in our heart. We need to make sure that our box has got that, first of all, because it's the heart of the matter. God wants your heart filled with His Spirit, with His Holy Ghost. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart. Do you believe that today? Do you want that today? Come on now, if you want it, you need to start giving God your heart so he can build it from the inside out. I will give you a heart of flesh. Now the second thing that was put in there was this rod. And this rod was unique because it showed the office of the holder of this rod, which was Aaron, that he was called specially to the priesthood. Do you understand that the Bible says in that Peter chapter 2 verse 9, that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood? We need to have God's Spirit, the rod of authority that shows that we are called to be kings and priests in our heart, a holy nation. We were talking about sanctification, a peculiar people. They think we're peculiar in here today. There's probably a drop off in all the shops right now. You know what? The normal people are in front of their TV screens watching some game. But I hear Joshua saying, who's on the Lord's side? As for me and my house, I'm going to choose to serve God. Because I want my heart built from the inside out. I'm not going to do what the world does. I'm going to be separate. I'm not going to worship a pigskin or some people running around throwing a ball. Because all of that's going to pass one day. I don't know whether they're going to win or lose, but come 3 months from now, you won't be remembering this day. So the second thing was the rod. We need to have God's rod in our hearts. The Bible says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And it is also a symbol that we are called out people, that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Those of you not coming to Sunday school, you're missing it. a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises, because it's out of our heart come forth praises. Did you know that? You can do an outside shout, but that only lasts so much. If it's not inside, it's not going to last. The third thing that was in there was the symbol of God's provision. That for 40 years in a desert, God provided bread. When you have that provision in your heart, when you have that trust in your heart, that you know that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you know for sure that God is going to be your daily bread, when he's going to be the food on your table, when he's going to be the clothes on your back, then you have that third thing inside your heart. Sometimes it's a bit of a journey. Deuteronomy 8:3, and he humbled thee. Sometimes it's a humbling experience to be in need and be in lack. But I tell you, if you've got that vase of manna, that was a symbol to them that though you're in the desert, though you don't have cattle and lambs, I'm going to provide you bread every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Hallelujah. That was the third thing that was in the box. It was a symbol that God is my provider, Jehovah Jireh. It was the name on the box, and the vase was in the box with the manna that came every day. We need to have that assurance in our heart that he will provide for us. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger. Yeah, they went through some thin patches, because God will test us to see whether we believe this thing or not. The devil's going to come to you and say, hey, why don't you just do this, turn this. You can go and do something else and make a whole pile of money. You know? Why don't you go down to the casino and make a whole pile of money? Don't you feel your luck coming today? Turn this stone into bread. But you know what Jesus said? It is written. You know where it's written? Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Angel food. I don't mean the cake you get at Pick and Save. I'm talking real angel food. They didn't even know what it is. They called it manna because they didn't know what it is. That's what manna means. What is this? But it kept them fed. I bet you that had more vitamins and nutrients than all this organic stuff. All you needed was the manna, and it kept them fed and healthy. They never got sick. Their clothes didn't wear out. See, when you build the heart from the inside out, God will take care of the rest. He said, I'm going to plant everything you need in a wilderness. I'm going to make it grow. They're not going to see how it works. They don't know how you're surviving. They don't know how God's delivering you. But when you give him the heart, he's going to build it from the inside out. You need to hide some things in your heart. You need to have the tablets of the new commandment. What did he say? A new commandment give I unto thee. What is it? That you love the Lord your God and love everyone else? See, that is the fulfillment of the law. We need to have that on our heart. We need to have the rod of our calling and priesthood in our heart. And as I said, we need to have that assurance of God's provision that no matter what, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Because he's teaching us to know man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word. You believe that today? You know, I live by God's word, not by my paycheck. My paycheck could go. I could walk in my neck and say, well, you know, things have been going pretty bad at the company right now, and we're going to have to let you go. You know what I'll say? Well, Lord, you got something better coming along. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I should not sin against thee. See, it's the heart of the matter. Where's your heart today? Have you decided to build a tabernacle from the outside and fix it on the outside and have nothing inside? You're going to have to do it the Bible way. Start from the ark, because that's where God said he's going to meet you. I'm almost finished. Almost finished here. Matthew 5:8 said, blessed are the pure in heart, because they are going to see God. You want to see God? Many times I'm driving, and when I used to have a lot, I used to just imagine, what would it be like to suddenly be in God's throne room? What would it be like to suddenly know that you have made it? What would it be like to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Blessed are the pure in heart. You have to have that old wooden box covered with beaten gold. You got to get the three things in there that God put in there. You got to be absolutely sure that no matter what you're going through, His provision, His manna is going to be in there. You got to have that settled in your heart that you believe and trust God. You're going to have the fact that that rod symbolizes that you're called to a priesthood. You've got to have the fact that the law, a new law, that you love one another. That you love the Lord God. See, all of those things were symbols. It's the heart of the matter. Let's stand today. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says this. Let us draw near with a true heart. In full assurance. Those symbols were put in the box so that years later, when people said, I wonder if they really were fed in the wilderness, they could open the box and there it was. Wonder if that story about Moses getting some tablets of stone was real. There was. You need to have a made-up heart. You need to have hidden those things. The Bible said Mary pondered those things in her heart. When the angel came and gave her direction and told her all the wonderful things, she pondered them. She meditated about it. What's in your Ark of the Covenant? What's in your heart today? Have you built it according to the plan of God? Have you let Him take the rough thorns and knock them off? Have you let Him beat the fine gold and covered it? Because that's what it's about. It's the heart of the matter. If you have done that, He promised. The very first verse I read, He said, there I will meet with thee. He will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. You want God's grace and mercy? You have to give Him your heart. See, that's where I'm going to be, right there. When you give me your heart, when you have built it according to the plan, from the inside out, I'm going to beautify. That's what He said. I'm going to beautify the what? The meek? Amen. With salvation. Once you have done the box, you can start building the rest of the tabernacle. But you need to start with the inside out, not the outside in. It don't work that way with God. Amen. I'm going to open this altar for prayer. Amen. Those who are seeking the Holy Spirit, if you want God to start beautifying the box, the acacia thorns, He'll knock them off. He'll cover them with gold. He'll make it a one-piece thing. It wasn't the easiest way to build the ark. The easiest way would have been to take several different sheets of gold. But God wanted to show something here. It's a one thing. It's like I said in Sunday school. The Word of God is not a buffet restaurant. You can't pick and choose which parts you want. You have to take all of it. God wanted to show He wants all of your heart. The whole box was covered with one piece of gold. Beaten. Purified. We're not going to be a long time. Because God doesn't have to take a long time. All He wants is true repentance. He wants you to say, Lord, You've given me the plans. When you hold up the Bible, that's the plans. That has the plan of salvation. All you have to do is say, Lord, let me start building. I give it to You. You direct me. Give me the skill that You gave those men to build the ark. I'm going to rely on Your provision. I'm going to make sure I have the manna in there, that absolute trust that You're going to look out for me, even when I can't see how You're going to do it. I'm going to make sure that my calling as a priest, the rod of Aaron that budded, is in my heart. I'm going to make sure that I fulfill the law by loving. That's the only three things God said He needed in there. You do all of that, and He's going to meet with you. He's going to come and talk with you. He's going to possess you. He's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and commune with you today. Amen. I'd ask the rest of this congregation if they would just bow their heads and pray for everyone that is at the altar right now, that the Lord will meet their need, that we will start building, each of us, the tabernacle from the inside out. Lord, we just come to You today. Jesus, we have nothing, oh God, but our thanks and our gratitude for Your word today. Lord, help us to understand, help us to apply this, oh God, as we wander in this wilderness, oh God, that You will provide the materials if we will give You our workmanship, Lord God. We ask You right now, Lord, those who are at the front here, Lord God, as I pray for them.